The CIA is looking for a new chief after General David Petraeus was exposed as being unfaithful to his wife. The married 60-year-old stood down from his CIA post over an affair with his 40-year-old biographer. It's a big scandal in the States with the major repercussions, but not everyone thinks General Petraeus should have resigned. Writer Helen Croydon argues that his private life is none of our business. In an article in The Guardian, she also claims too many competent people have lost their jobs because of puritanical judgments. Helen, who is the author of the book Sugar Daddy Diaries, is on the line. So too is commentator Heidi McGalpin. Helen, let's start with you. First of all, you don't feel that there should be this crossover between what happens to someone's private life should affect their public life, so to speak, even if the person in question is a CIA director?
No, I mean, the question is, people are saying, yes, that there was a security breach. There wasn't a security breach. The FIA have done an investigation. And I just don't think that we should bring morality into it. I mean, this is a four-star general who was responsible for for the architecture of most of the Iraq policy and in the US Army. And he was very good at his job. And we're bringing morality into an area where morality isn't relevant. And, you know, so many people can do other really bad things and no one cares, but as soon as it comes to adultery or anything to do with the family, people jump on it. And really, it's none of our business. I mean, you can think what you like about monogamy and adultery. That's irrelevant, really. I mean, some people might frown on it, but we shouldn't let that encroach on someone's public role.
Well, you've combined it all together there, and you've described it as morality. So do you feel morality is relevant in any walk of life in terms of any position held?
I think if it impacts on your job, I mean, it depends what we're talking about. If there's morality and ethics are very different, and so many people confuse the two. Now, in my world, morality is your own individual code. And I think, you're not actually doing anything wrong unless you hurt someone. Morality is what, society sort of judges as being right or wrong. Ethics is what you judge as yourself to be right or wrong. So you can be ethical, but not necessarily have high morals. So I think, as long as no one is being hurt and there's no... You can't argue that it's something for the public's judgment. The person here that should be judging David Petraeus' action is his wife and family, because they are the people who his actions have directly impacted on, not the public.
Heidi, where do you stand on this?
Well, I think Helen is sort of tying herself up in knots with her argument. She doesn't even sound like she's totally 100% convinced of her own attitude towards the story. And generally speaking, I think if somebody's having an affair and they're having to deal with all the subterfuge that goes with that, the clandestine behaviour between both parties, and they are obviously hurting or will hurt because inevitably they're going to be found out, their partner and any children they may have and other sort of extended family and friends groups, but particularly the partner, of course, and children, how can they 100% focus on the job in hand? And these aren't people with just any old jobs. These are people that are in positions of authority. They're masters of our security and economy. They are role models, despite what Helen's article says, to a younger generation. So they do have a role to play, and principles of morality. You can't divide a person up into a private person and a public person. They are the person, 100% fully rounded individual, and one side will affect the other side and vice versa.
Helen?
I don't think that having an affair makes you necessarily an immoral person in the public eye. You might have let your family down.
I think it does. If somebody's having an affair, it's not just celebrity.
Heidi, I'll let you come back in, Heidi. Go on, finish off there, Helen.
But I don't think that having an affair necessarily makes him an immoral person.
Heidi?
Well, I think this, morality and ethics debate is getting a little bit skewed and muddying the waters. You're either a person of morals or you're not. If you're having an affair, then it is questionable. Your behaviour is more than questionable, and it will impinge on people's perception of you. And what sort of a society do we want to promote whereby you can get away with affairs and, oh, sure, they're just having an affair. It's a private thing between them and their partner. It's nothing to do with us as a society that have maybe voted them into a position. They pay their wages. You know, we're talking about footballers that Helen also brings into her debate. You know, we pay their wages indirectly. So they do have a responsibility, and they do have a role to project. And what is wrong with wanting to have a marriage, for example, that is fair and honest and equitable, and you're loyal to your partner? That is not a bad thing to want of anyone, and particularly people in positions of authority and in the public eye.
So you believe, Heidi, strongly then, that you can't have a disconnect between people who are in the public eye in terms of their private life and their public life, and you feel they have a responsibility to set an example of some degree?
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm saying they should have privacy in their lives. But when something like this comes out into the public eye, in the public domain, then absolutely they're going to be judged on it. It's only human nature.
Helen?
I absolutely agree with Heidi in that there's nothing wrong with wanting an honest and loyal marriage. I mean, I want that too, but I don't think we should inflict our own values on other people. And there are many different reasons why people have an affair.
But do people in the public eye have a responsibility to be role models?
Well, there's two things I'd say to that. One, he isn't necessarily a role model. His job was to oversee the gathering of intelligence for the CIA. He's not a celebrity. He's not a public figure. He doesn't play football or appear on TV.
Yeah, but you've mentioned footballers in the past in your articles.
I have, not particularly in this article, I haven't.
No, but how do you feel in terms of their responsibility as role models?
Still, I think, you know, my second point was, A, he's not a role model, so let's not go down that argument. Second point was, you know, even if he is a role model, it's not for us to judge. That's something that he needs to negotiate with his partner. And I believe that in this society, we are too prescriptive with how we live our relationships, and we model them with what is right and what has been right historically for relationships when they were a necessity to survive.
Maybe.
No longer a necessity. There are many different models of relationships these days. We have gay marriages, we have couples who are married and we live apart. We're living longer, we live in a more autonomous society, we live more independent lives. Social networking has changed the social landscape. We have more opportunities to meet more people, and we can no longer demand monogamy like we used to.
I suppose the other point, Heidi, is maybe we're just far too nosy.
Well, I mean, social networking and the speed of the media obviously demands constant news feed. I would take issue with a couple of points that Helen said. Petraeus is a public figure, whether you agree with that or not. He maybe necessarily didn't go into his career thinking he would be, but he has risen to lofty heights and he is a public figure, as all this coverage shows patently. Second of all, fair enough, you say that society has changed, there's all sorts of relationships. That isn't the issue. The issue is that he entered into a relationship of a marriage with another woman. He is now saying that his affair was a mistake, so he readily agrees that what he did was wrong. So there you go, he's admitted it himself. He didn't enter into it with the knowledge of his wife. Two people in a relationship have to equally agree to the boundaries of their relationship, so it certainly wasn't an open marriage or anything like that. So he was wrong.
Who says two people in a marriage have to agree to those? Who says that? That's us creating those rules for other people.
0845955678, the number this morning. We're asking if, in the wake of this story about the CIA chief, the General David Petraeus, who was exposed as being unfaithful, is it impossible to separate what someone does in their private life if they have a high profile from what they do in their public life, or should it matter what they do in their private life? Stephen is on the line this morning. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, Joe. How's you?
What's your view on this?
My view is that it's a nice thing to pull off an affair. To have an affair, you need to be very devious. And you need to be very secretive to pull that off. And I think that somebody who has those characteristics and traits in their personality should in no way be in the kind of job that guy was in. They shouldn't be in the public eye. If you are going to do that, then you need to decide, as soon as you walk in that job like that, you need to understand the boundaries that you have and the rules you have to follow to be in the public eye and to be in that job. And I think that to pull off an affair as a person, you need to be very, very, very devious and secretive.
Do you think he was taking a huge security risk? I mean, I know that Helen made reference to an investigation that says, well, it didn't come to anything, and he didn't. Nobody's security was breached as a result. But, I mean, does part of you think that he was prepared to take that risk?
100%. And I think he was probably prepared to take because he thought, because of the nature of his job, that he could probably pull this one off. You know, he thought that he could probably get away with the secrecy and get away with the deceit because of the nature of his role, but the fact was he couldn't. And I think that given this job and security risk, it was even worse than what he'd done.
So, in your view, Stephen, are you saying that for someone in public office that's making decisions on your behalf, that for you it would be all about the element of trust, and if you saw this sort of example, then it would question whether you could trust them professionally?
Exactly, Joel. I mean, if you're going to take a job in the public eye, if you're accepted that you're going to move into that sort of realm, then all of a sudden the expectations of you become a lot higher. And I think that you need to realise that. And for someone to do what he done, given the job he had, given the prestige of that job and how much he was in the public eye, I think it's absolutely shameful. And I certainly wouldn't trust somebody who's in the public, who's acting on my behalf, if that's what they were doing.
Stephen, stay where you are. Michael has a point here. Morning, Michael.
How are you doing yourself?
Very well. Go on ahead.
Just a wee retort to your friend there.
Stephen's still there. You can talk to him.
Stephen, is he not actually perfect for the job? Because after all, he is head of the CIA, and it would be to his credit to be devious and secretive.
Yes, but obviously that's why. You know, he thought because of the job that he was in, yeah, that he had, if he wanted a license to do what he wanted to do, because he thought that he could get away with.
Totally,
he has those traits and characteristics. Isn't
totally, no, I'm being quite sarcastic. But
I thought that was tongue in cheek there, Michael. To be perfectly honest,
tongue in cheek.
Yes,
but I mean, at the end of the day, slick Billy Clinton was up the old sorts of misdemeanors, and he still retained his presidency, didn't he?
Well, Helen, you've mentioned that in your piece. You refer to Bill Clinton.
Yes, I mean,
Did he go a step too far by lying to the American people?
Well, that is a separate issue, really, than the fact that he had an affair.
But it led to him lying to the American people.
All the drama surrounding Bill Clinton's affair, you know, it was all the fact that he had this lewd sex act with someone, you know, in office. And yes, of course, we know that's hugely gossip-worthy and it's hugely shocking, just like it would be in any office. But to bring it into the country, for the country to debate his affair, I mean, yeah, of course, he shouldn't have done it.
But does it
really impact on his leadership of the country? You know, there's this overlap, and what I don't agree with is this encroachment of sort of, you know, of your responsibility to your employers and
yes, but what about Stephen's?
How that encroaches into your public life? That's a symptom of a Big Brother society.
But what about Stephen's point, where if you have people who are in positions where they are making big decisions, whether it be political or in terms of security or other things, big decisions on your behalf, you want to know that you can trust those people to make those decisions.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you look at the person's private life and if they prove to be untrustworthy, how can you trust them in public life?
Well, because people have a set distinction with what they do in their private life and what they do in their public life. You know, I make decisions in my job all the time. I write strongly worded opinion pieces. What I actually think in my private life and the conversations that I have with my friends in my private life are much more nuanced. What I do in my private life doesn't necessarily reflect what the decisions that I make in my public life. We all put on a slight persona. You know, going to work and adopting a role is a form of method acting in a way, and I don't think that how we are when we take our suit off at the end of the day is in any way reflective of how we make decisions.
Bill Patterson's on the line this morning. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Joe.
Have you been listening to our debate? What do you think?
I've listened to your debate. I think it's what people do in their private life. I mean, if you have a look at a future King of England, Prince Charles, he was deceiving all his future subjects, as you could say. You had the President of America, who was not removed from his position, so why should you remove a guy from the CIA when the President, the most powerful man in the world...
Do you think we're far too...
Exactly, I'm saying?
Do you think we're far too nosy? Are you quite happy to allow people to do whatever they want to do in their private life as long as it doesn't impinge on what they're doing in their public life?
Next we'll have our employers telling us what we're going to eat and who we can speak to and what we can actually say outside our own private life. That, I think, is ridiculous. Once you actually go out, once you finish what your duty is and what you've done, the rest of your life's your own. I mean, we can't tell people how to live I mean, if you want to, let's move to China, become communist or something. You know what I mean? Let's tell how we walk down the street and how what we do outside of our own working hours.
I suppose you could say in this case, though, that what he did leave him open to blackmail and almost compromised his position within the CIA. So what happened in his private life almost did overlap into his public life.
But the point I made of earlier as well, Stephen, is, I mean, if we look at President Bill Clinton at one time.
Okay.
He never had such a position to be blackmailed. Well, and it actually almost happened. I mean, I think it was heading that way until it was brought to the public notice. But, and now it was case. Now, he wasn't removed from his position. He stayed as the most powerful man, I believe, in the world, and held the biggest position. But no one's jumped up and down to have him removed. Then we were talking about a guy here that's, well, nobody had to do. It's happened all around the world. We have, as I said, the press more so. That's all they seem to be covering is who have, there's Robbie Savage in the paper there we, last week coming out of someone's apartment. And it's all this need that they want to sell as well. It's just that leave people alone, let them get on with their lives.
I'm only cutting you off because you're starting to cut up there. I don't know if you've moved on the old mobile, but we got the gist of what you were saying. That was Bill in Belfast. Sydney is also in Belfast this morning. Hello, Sydney. Sydney was in Belfast. I don't know where he is now. We'll try Susan. Susan Ann White. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Tiger.
That's a very nice name, Sue. Susan Ann White. I've never met a Susan Ann before.
Well, I'd like to quote an old saying. One can be a liar without being an adulterer, but one cannot be an adulterer without also being a liar. Adultery and lying go hand in hand. They're like terrible twins. Adultery is a terrible sin, and in some states in America, it is also a crime. And in the Old Testament, the sin of adultery attracted the death penalty. Now today, in the New Testament era in which we're living, the Lord Jesus does not require the death penalty for adultery, but he does require repentance. Repentance from the adulterer. And adultery is so serious that at times it has led to murder.
So you think it was quite right that he was removed from his position?
Absolutely.
Helen?
I think that, you know, once we start bringing in biblical references and biblical values from, you know, more than 2,000 years ago, we're going way off the mark. I mean, thank goodness it's not punishable by death anymore. And thank goodness that we don't have any of those punishments that were in effect in the Old Testament days. I mean, things have moved on for a reason because we're a much more civilized society and we have a much greater emotional maturity to judge
and
our actions.
I want to give Heidi a quick word because we're going to move on to another topic soon. But Heidi, you've been listening with interest, I'm sure, to the views of many of our callers. Round it all up for us there in your own view.
Well, first of all, that woman who brought in the Bible, she wasn't saying that the death penalty was the right and proper thing to do, of course, Helen. So don't be going on that tabloid bandwagon and peddling that view. Don't even start me on footballers. I mean, Robbie Savage was mentioned there. John Terry was mentioned in Helen's article. These are men who are role models to children. They get paid disgusting amounts of money. These little children come on, you know, at the start of football matches, holding hands with them as their mascots. And then they get off the pitch. All sorts of things happen on the pitch and off the pitch. And they should all be accountable and their behaviour made public whenever it is questionable, to say the least.
Okay. Heidi, thank you very much. Thanks to Helen. Thanks to all of our callers.